people cite the PISA statistics. It's the Program for International Student Assessment. And in the most recent administration of that, the U.S. ranked 14th in reading, 17th in science, 25th in math. And so we've really gotten passed by a lot of other countries around the world. The president set a 2020 goal to return to number one in the world in post-secondary achievement. And in order to really meet that goal, we need new approaches to teaching and learning. And in other sectors, when, you know, we need to make really substantial improvements like that, we turn to innovation. And there's just not enough innovation going on right now in education.
So what is an educational innovation?
Well, it can be any of a number of things. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about innovation, we're talking about something that improves along really two dimensions. So one is that it's some type of intervention or product or curriculum. It can be a bunch of different things, but it improves on the status quo. So it improves student achievement, or it improves, you know, the ability of teachers to teach. And that's one dimension of it. But the other dimension that, you know, doesn't get talked about as much is that it also has to go to scale. So lots of things that improve student achievement in the U.S. Remain in the classroom where they originally get developed, or remain in the school district where they originally get developed. But we know that there are really substantial needs across the country. And so, you know, requiring every school to reinvent things to address problems that are shared doesn't seem like the best approach. So when we're talking about innovations, we're talking about things that meet those two dimensions, that improve on what we have now, but also grow to serve an increasingly large number of students if they're demonstrated to be effective.
So for clarification, is this a program that will help with teaching technology and science and mathematics to the students? Or is this more how to use these skill sets to better educate the students across the board?
So it could really go in a number of different directions. And as the organization gets going, you know, the director and the secretary and the program managers will figure out what are the most promising places for the organization to invest. I can give you a couple examples that we've been talking about really promising areas for some transformative research and development. So one that the president talks about has talked about in a number of his speeches is the development of digital tutors that are as effective as the best personal tutors. And the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, which is an office at the Department of Defense that focuses on high-risk, high-reward research and development, has partnered with the Navy to develop a digital tutor that has really dramatically reduced the amount of time that's required to train Navy recruits to become IT experts. So they looked at the Navy's needs and said that one of their critical needs was training IT experts. DARPA said, we can figure out a way to get folks to become experts in a much shorter period of time than we're able to do right now. And they've demonstrated some really promising results in that area. We're curious whether, you know, those results could be extended to algebra or to other core academic areas. A second example is courses that improve the more students use them. So, you know, most people are familiar with the Netflix recommendation engine, or the fact that you can go on Amazon and it'll recommend things that you'd like based on your prior behavior. We don't have a whole lot of things like that in education, but students generate an awful lot of data about what they're doing every day, or they could generate that data. And, you know, researchers have started exploring whether we can use techniques like those that Netflix and Amazon use to recommend types of courses, recommend the best ways in which students learn, and really personalize education to a much greater extent than we're able to do now.
We're speaking with Jefferson Pestronk. He's a special assistant in the Office of Innovation and Improvement at the Education Department. It sounds to me like the federal government is trying to get into the business of compensating for, let's say, environmental factors that have increased so much in the last 50 years. more television, more social media, more computers, the more all sorts of nonsense that used to take the place of reading, writing, arithmetic. Is that how you view it?
No, so I wouldn't characterize it like that. I'd say that in a lot of different areas, the federal government makes really meaningful investments in research and development that the private sector, you know, doesn't necessarily support. So in medicine, we have the National Institutes of Health. In energy, there's an organization called ARPA Energy. Like I said earlier, we've got DARPA for national defense. And, you know, the argument that we're making is that that type of transformative improvement is possible in education, that a number of projects that are, you know, taking place right now have suggested that we really can get there. And if we want to achieve our educational aspirations, we really need to be making some investments like that in, you know, every field in order to improve. We've got to be trying new things, and we want to make sure that that's something we're doing in an area as important as education as well.
What is the status of ARPA-Ed now, and what is the timeline for it to be fully established?
At this point, it's in the president's proposed fiscal year 2012 budget, so it's in there for $90 million in fiscal year 2012. There will be additional conversations about its establishment and its structure as the 2012 budget discussion gets underway. So we'll have, you know, some more information about the prospects of it and how we're thinking about structuring it as that. As that debate moves forward.
And the research that you hope to do, assuming we get a 2012 budget, we're of course still working on 2011, does it take into account the socioeconomic factors? Because the demographics, if you will, the makeup of the country has changed so much in the last number of years, and maybe the systems that worked in the 50s don't work for the diversity that we have now.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, like just about all of the department's programs, we really do want to focus on high-need students, and we think that focusing on things that can help us personalize education will really make a contribution to meeting specific student needs, no longer saying that one solution is best for all students,